Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Wait a minute. I know them, you know. They should have been singing the whole time live.
Exactly, man.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me. Blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale. Like I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But hey, I spoke.
You are a real artist.
I am a real artist.
Was written, and you know what? You know what, cuz? I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I'm blown away.
I told God I would be faithful about the spirit that he gave me, and he wouldn't let me release it for some time, but if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, AK Disco. AK Disco. 3-5. And I say, sure, I don't do no physical harm to them. I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them. And they act right.
I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all.
See, I thought that, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl, the one you heard about. We fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles, too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron L., who is one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls Jip Jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything, and, I don't want to call him his real name. Chance has come a long way, and his music is...
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the voice, and as I said before, TAZ, host the show, man.
Good evening. Good evening. This is ATAZP Live on Blog Talk Radio with your host, TAZ. I have on the line Neo Soldier. She's a host of Fire and Ice Spoken Word Indie Music Radio Show, poet and spoken word artist. She's in the house to talk about her music, and I actually got about 2,000 different projects she got going on. She's a very busy lady. I'm guessing. I'm just saying. How are you doing today, Neo?
I'm good, Chaz. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm trying to think when I first, I know I heard Lisa's spoken word piece before I friended you, because that's how I do. I rolled through Blog Talk. I rolled through Facebook, and I listened to different artists, and I know I heard something from you, and I was like, I don't remember when, because we've been friends for a minute. It's not like we're new friends. We've been friends for a long while. Yeah, so, and I'm trying to think, you know, me being old, I'm trying to think, when did I first, I knew I heard the music. That's had to be the first thing, because I love music, and I love spoken word, too. And I know we connected through that, and then became a friendship for a long while before I even had you on the show. I know you did your thing, and you was always busy, so I knew I was like, man, I can't hit her up. I know she's doing something this week. And you know, my show's just, my shows fall on Thursday, and I know you do a radio show, too, as well. So speak about that, Fire and Ice Spoken Word Indie Music Radio Show.
Well, Fire and Ice, I've been running Fire and Ice for maybe about 6 years now. And what I wanted to do with the show is bring the marriage of jazz and spoken word together. You know, we've treated it like a love affair. I mean, you can go to a smoky cafe and find some poetry on the stage here and there, you know, like a mistress. Mm-hmm. And so what I wanted to do was create a platform where I could bring, fuse the two together. So I've been, you know, blessed to be afforded to have friendships with poets on different levels, you know, from the newbie that just came out tonight to the Tony and Peabody Award-winning poets from Deaf Poetry Jam. So I started taking their poetry, and, you know, every now and then I would go to YouTube and maybe find somebody really good and, you know, ask them, hey, is it cool if I play your stuff, and combine it with some music. And then so it would be like 2-hour-long show, spoken word and poetry. And every now and then I would bring in a special guest and interview them just to talk about music today or poetry today. And I mean, I've been blessed. I mean, I've talked to members of Earth, Wind, and Fire, the Isley Brothers, you know, classic, classic people. And being poets, like I talked to Georgia May, she just came off a tour with Jill Scott. And so that show, to me, that's one of my favorite babies. You know, I put it on hiatus for a little while, but I'm bringing it back this year. But that's one of my favorite babies, you know, because it gives voice to people that you may not ever hear.
Right. And that's the premise of this show as well. And did you say Georgia Rain?
Georgia Me.
Okay. I'll give
you. Yeah, her name is Georgia Me.
Okay. And you're out of, you live in Houston now, right?
I do live in Houston now.
But you used to live in Atlanta, right?
Yes. I spent I was born in Cleveland. I grew up in Atlanta. And then I went back to Cleveland for a couple of years and did some work. One of the other things I do, a lot of people don't know about me, is that I'm a worship leader as well and a vocal coach. And so I spent about 11 years in Cleveland helping churches with their music departments. And then I moved to Houston. I couldn't take another snow. I couldn't.
Hey, well,
I can't.
Well, homie, I'm from Ohio too. And I lived in Atlanta 17 years too.
Okay.
I'm down here in Grand Prairie, Texas.
Okay.
So we like
in Texas. How far away are you?
Well, Houston is a good grip, about, I would say, 3.5 hours, close to 4. From where I'm at. I'm near Dallas, so however long it is from you to get to Dallas from Houston. It's like we followed the same path, though, for real.
It is.
And when you were in Cleveland and when you was in Ohio, have you ever heard of a church called It was Greater St. John, then it changed to Oasis of Love in Mansfield, Ohio.
Yes.
That's my uncle's church. And now my cousin's church. Yeah, Walter E. Jordan was my Bishop Walter E. Jordan was my uncle. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so
I've heard good things about that church.
Oh yeah, when he was running it was a bad boy. My cousin run it now and it's the same thing. They changed it to Oasis. My sister actually runs the media there and the music department, you know, as far as selling music and stuff like that. So
okay.
Yeah, I figured you would know because one of my cousin started a church in Cleveland too. His name is Gregory Jordan. He's a Jordan too as well. So it's just crazy.
Okay.
When I read it and it said Atlanta, I said, I might know her from Atlanta too. Because I used to get around. I got friends from Alabama like Mark Lacey.
Okay.
And Kamiko Farr. Kamiko Farr.
Now that name sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's my girl. She's been on here before too. And Mark always comes. They're both friends of mine from Alabama. And we do a poetry night here where I get a couple of poets together. And myself, I'm not no poet. I write lyrics. I rap and I do music, but I'm no poet. But it's the same thing. Once you either way you display it, it's the same thing.
That's what they say. That's what they say, even though I can't rap to save my life, but that's what they say.
but you probably can. See?
I'm gonna tell you right now. Trust me, I suck.
I'm gonna tell you right now. You don't have to sound like these young kids. You probably could. On a slower beat.
You know what?
With a slower rhythm, you probably could. And rock the house. I'm just saying. I mean, you don't have to sound like these young kids. As a matter of fact, that ain't rap, really. A lot of the stuff they say ain't rap. I mean, it's so simple and bubblegum down, and they repeat the chorus about 8 times, you know, so it's crazy.
Right? But, you know, I deeply respect rappers, though, because I've tried it, and I do have a joint that's going to go on. I'm doing some new music right now so that I can pull a couple of pieces off the old project and, you know, put it back out with some fresh music. And I do have this one joint with this MC in Akron named Ace Boogie. And it was a nice little slow groove, so I did kind of a pseudo-rap. But the thing I love and respect about rappers, especially the ones that have something to say, I know how many words it takes for me to fill up like 3 minutes. And the average rap cut is like 4 or 5 minutes. And they're speaking twice as fast as I am. So that means they have twice as much content. You know?
When I watch them
on stage and I'm watching them and they're working the stage and jumping up and down and running back and forth, and I know they've got like 10,000 words in their head, I totally respect that. That's why I have a problem with these kids today. You know, because it's a tremendous platform. I'm serious, you know, it's a tremendous platform. It's a serious art. And to be able to hold somebody captive by talking for 5 minutes, I don't care how sick the beat is, to be able to impact somebody, that's the art of it. But today, you know, as long as it's got that little funky beat, you can talk about toe jam and earwax, you know, and you're on the Ellen Show 2 weeks later, you know?
Got me crying.
Really, you know, they don't care what you talk about today.
now there's a few that I like. Kendrick Lamar, he's very deep. There's different, you know, you always find Rose in a bunch of dandelions. You know what I'm saying? You'll find something good out of it. And Kendrick Lamar, he speaks real, real deep. There's a few of them that's out here, but for the main bunch of them that's trying to get fame and trying to get a little money, they ain't really talking about nothing. Not to me.
They're really not. They really, and you know what? I have a horrible confession, and I'm going to go ahead and confess it on the air because I know my phone is about to blow up. But, yeah, I don't think I've heard two Kendrick Lamar cuts. I don't think so.
Don't worry.
But I have a good reason. But I have a good reason. See, because what happened was, I'm going to explain it. Okay, see what, because what happened was, I'm a serious supporter of indie artists. I really, really am. And it's nothing against the ones that have already made it. But
right.
Around the same time that he became hot, I was listening to this one cat named Jay Floyd. And as I explained, a guy named Ace Boogie. And there's another chick in Akron named Tamika Simone. And there were a couple of people that were into hip-hop that really brought it. And then at the same time, because my show is more international than it is national. I do run it here in the States, but it's also carried overseas in Ireland and London and two other countries. So I tend to lean a little bit more toward jazz. And as a result, you know, me and hip hop kind of we separated for a little while, but you know, we're gonna get marriage counseling, it'll be all right.
Yeah, get back together with it because it's his cousin. Y'all cousins.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, right?
I know.
Now, see, I do.
But you
I
know,
do
for a while,
too.
It was like that drunk uncle that comes to the party. You're like, oh, God, you again.
Yeah, here
you
he comes. Yeah, here he comes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Your song that you sent me, Colors. Now, granted, I ain't played none of these because for everybody that comes on the show, I already know that I'm vibing to them if I'm friends with you already. And
right.
I know I'm going to like it. But I was interested to play it, but I'm like, nah, I ain't going to play it. But I wanted to. So that's why I'm saying. Now, there has been some artists where when they first came on, I said, this is so-and-so. He's from Atlanta. Hey, don't say nothing, bro. I'm going to play this song to hell with you. And I played it. And then we started talking. I said, I had to listen to it, bro. I wanted to, but I wanted to keep my word and listen to it fresh when I hear it on air. So the piece called Colors, explain that. And she laughs.
Because I only have one answer.
Okay, go on.
So, let me first preface by letting people know that, you know, because after I finish talking about them, they're like, oh, my God, I can't listen. I do not use any profanity in my poetry at all. I am a lover of metaphors and words and innuendo. That being said, Colors, I wrote like it wasn't even 2 hours after some mind-blowing sex.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
And that's why I was laughing because I'm like,
I can't wait to hit the button now. Mind-blowing.
I was trying to describe it because, you know, I mean, you can have good sex. You can have great sex. To me, mind-blowing sex is when you leave the encounter, you haven't just had the best orgasm of all time, but you've connected on a much deeper level.
Right.
This was a guy that I loved at the time, and the thing that I loved the most about our relationship was by that he started to really know me. And when you're standing or laying beside somebody fully exposed, there's nothing to hide. You can't hide your flaws in your skin, and you can't hide your level of being uncomfortable about those flaws in your skin, because it's either going to show by the way you move, by the way you hold your hands to cover yourself, or the look in your eyes.
Right.
And this particular time, it wasn't just the act. It was the unspoken communication we had. And he made me feel like I described it in the piece. So that's why I laugh, because everybody always asks me about it. I'm like, oh, Lord, the whole world's going to know I wrote this after some mind-blowing sex. But that's what happened.
I'm glad you exposed it right here. This is Neo Soldier Colors.
Designed me with brushstrokes long and brushstrokes short, redefined me, limb stroke amber and queenly breast kiss with hues mahogany and ripe. Again and again he dipped his brush inside with strokes hard and strokes soft, caressed hips with melon deep to the core, finding their center, brush stroke shades, reds passion, gold hints of desire, silver streaks of sensuality, again and again. Touching my saffron skin.
Connected on the musical level, and I didn't know, I hadn't heard anything, since the first time I friended you way back when, but that's the reason why right there. That's the reason why right there. Because I was, oh, I was feeling
thank
that.
Thank you.
And I
thank
explode.
So
my body explode with colors. What?
Yeah.
I got you. I got you. It was a the rainbow filled the room. Everything.
It was a rainbow.
His colors, his colors, my colors mixed. And
he used all the simple. He used every color in the box.
And I was like, just throw the Crayolas on the floor. Why don't you? That's what I was like. Come on, now. You bought it all at the end.
Like the big,
you bought it
the
all at the end.
The big box with the sharpener, remember?
Yeah, with the sharpener, yeah, yeah. That was the coolest thing. Because you know your crayon will go flat in a minute. Yeah. I'm tripping like, hey, you know, hey, look, you act like you were rich, too, when you were in school. I got the 64. Everybody else had 8,
yes.
11, 15.
Yes.
You had the 64. You were up.
Yes.
You was upper class. You were upper class. Dude.
Yeah, buddy.
We rich. We
turned
got
around like a purse, man.
Oh, man. But I love that song. Was that you singing, too?
Yes. Yeah, I do all my own vocals.
Guess what? You get ready to sing. You get ready to sing on some ATAZP stuff. I'm telling you right now. You hit that one note. I said, I know she gonna have to sing for me, Lord. I loved every bit of that song. I loved every bit of that song for real. Oh, goodness.
Thank you.
It's like I want to replay it again. But I'm glad you gave me the gist of what it was about, so I know when I listen to it, I'm going, You know, I'm thinking about, Yeah,
right,
I got it
right.
Now. But I'm really feeling the inside note of the song. I'm really feeling this right now. Because, you know, on the outside looking in, you just thinking, this girl talking about colors, so yeah, okay. Nah, bruh. She wasn't talking about no colors, bro, but I understood.
Right. Yeah. And this was actually fun for me because I've been on a couple of shows and they've already listened to it. And so then they'll come on and go, so, you know, I mean, it's a really deep piece and you're covering all these different colors. And so what inspired you to write this piece, you know? And then I tell them the same answer. I'm like, well, you know, after an evening of mind-blowing sex. And they go,
it wakes you up, and I'm glad. Like I said, I don't listen to none of the tracks from none of the artists before because I kind of know we on that same level, that same group. I would never, you know, I would have never asked you to come on the show if I didn't like your music. I'm serious. I don't go for what everybody goes for. I go for what I like, and if I like you,
exactly.
then I'm feeling you for real, and it's a sincere. Love of the art of music because I love music. How do you come up with your songs, your lyrics? I mean, do they come to you naturally or do you work through them? Or, of course, which I know me being a songwriter, it could be personal and that could be a lot more easier for you to write. So I'm just asking your experience of creating a song, creating a piece. How do you go about that?
You know what? More often than not, I get the piece, like it starts kind of ruminating in my head, and I'll bounce it off of my then writing partner, my niece, we called her Nella Jenkins. Her name was Chanel. And I would call Nella. You know, because
we both had
these different. Right, you know, we had these alter egos. Hers was Nella Jenkins, mine is Quantavia Jenkins. And so I might call her, you know, and I might call her, you know, back when she was living, I would call her and go, so, blah, 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 blah. And she would respond back. And then the next thing you know, I've got this bug in my head. Well, when it came down to this project, though, this was a little different because I was working with like three of the most brilliant men I have ever worked with in my life. That music, the music, that particular piece of music, I had written the piece long before he gave me the music, a couple of years before, a little bit before. And when I called him, and seriously, and think about the way the music sounded, I called him. I was like, I need you to compose me the track that Janet Jackson left off of Demeter Jones. And he was like, he laughed. He said, all right. I didn't hear from him for like a week. I'm like, what are you doing? He said, I'm working on it. Leave me alone. And then when I heard it, I'm like, oh, man, she would cut your throat for this. So when it came, you know, so it all depends for me. Like, if it's something I'm writing for somebody, then I like to kind of talk to them and find out a little bit about their story so they're singing their truth.
Right, right.
Because to me, the best music comes from a place of truth, you know.
Right.
But for myself, you know, I envy people that can just sit down and say, okay, I'm going to write, and just pick up pen and paper and just start scribbling. If I'm not inspired, you get nothing. Nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. You know, so for the best process for me, seriously, give me some nice jazz, a long hot shower, because my bathroom is my sanctuary, and by the time I come out of there, I got the first couple of nights, and I go sit down and write. You know, that's how it works for me. And seriously,
wow.
That's how it works for me. You know, I'm not, it's rare. I can count how many times I've woke up in the middle of the night with a piece and just had to write it down. That's rare. That's really rare. Mines are usually out of conversation. Somebody might say something, a simple line or something. And the next thing you know, I've written a whole piece around it. So that's kind of how it goes for me.
Yeah, because sometimes I let my thoughts for different songs just stay with me and season with me for a minute. And then when it's time to write it, then boom, I'm right there, you know. And and it's not so much the beat, because I make my own beats and do all that. It's not so much the beat. It's so much the message or what I want to express to get out. So I got to let it marinate a little bit, and then I put it down, and then I listen to the song to see if I'm feeling it the next day. I might not play it, but once or twice that day, I'm done, go to the next thing, wait a while, and see if I'm really feeling it the next day. And if I'm feeling it the next day, it's on, it's good. And 9 times out of 10, I'm not, but that is very rare that I do hit one where I go, ooh, I really feel this the next day, you know. So it's a different process for everybody, but I just wondered how yours was. Now, do you need to? Obviously, you don't need the beat. You don't need the beat first to write, because you said you had wrote this already before you got the music.
Right.
Yeah, so. Do you write to music too as well?
I do write to music. So a lot of the music that he sent me, and when I say he, I mean the major composition producer, excuse me, was Michael Lloyd, who I call Ike Gordy, for very good reason. And he's like Ike Turner and Berry Gordy at the same time.
Great time.
And, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. You know, I mean, this guy, out of the 18 tracks that ended up being a part of my project, 16 tracks, he did 13 of them. Brilliant guy. But sometimes I would have to, like, sit with it. He might send me a piece and I had nothing. And I would have to sit with it and just listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. You know, I had to interpret whatever it was saying. So that happened on a couple of pieces. It happened on Enigma. It happened on Sister Girl. It happened on Like I Do. And one other piece on there, I can't remember. But I wrote what I heard. That's what the music was saying to me.
Right.
You know, it was saying this, and so that's what I wrote. But I don't need the music in order to write a piece. However, it is more difficult for me, and I don't know if it's that way for songwriters, but it's more difficult for me to perfect the cadence of my rhyme without the music.
Right. I understand
you
what you're
what
saying.
Mean?
Yeah, because you don't have the music right then to know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You don't know, okay, am I going to be able to spit this as fast as I want to, as slow as I want to? Because I know one line on Panties on the Stage, there's a piece in there called Panties on the Stage, and at the end of the piece, even though I broke everything down in basic English, at the end I pull out what my friend calls my $125 words, and I make this long string of words, and then I interpret them. And as I was delivering it, I was running out of music, and it just so happened that at the last time I got the words out, it came out in a staccato beat with the music. Brilliant mistake.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Wow.
The way I heard it in my head, it would have been way off, you know. So
I understand.
The music's on the go. Yeah. But I love the creative process. I mean, it's cool.
Well, I like that. I like the way you put that, because sometimes I go through the same thing. I was just over here amening after everything you said. Amen. Yes, I understand what you're saying, because I go through the same thing too. Enigma.
Yes.
Explain that one, because you just mentioned it, and I want to play that too.
Enigma, actually, the producer, Ike, he sparked that one. We were having a conversation, and, you know, we're both church maybes, and both are still really active in the church. But then he got to see what I call the dark side of me, Quantavia. You know, he started seeing the poetry that was poetry that was a little more outspoken, poetry that was a little more racy. You know, like I said, I don't use profanity in my pieces, and I don't use, you know, even simple words like penis and vagina in my poetry. But as you could tell the colors, I give you enough metaphors. You don't need me to say anything. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
And so he sent me back. I was responding to him about a piece that he sent me some material, and I made a comment that sounded kind of off for me. And then he emailed me back. He just put one sentence. He said, "You're an enigma."
Wow.
And I was like, and I emailed him back, and I'm like, I don't know whether to be insulted or not, because I don't know what it means. Hold on. And so I went to my dictionary and looked it up. I'm like, oh, an enigma. Somebody, an enigma is a person that you perceive to be one way who's actually a different way.
Right.
And so that's the only vanity piece, and I call them vanity pieces when poets spit about themselves and their abilities and capabilities and everything. That's the only vanity piece I have on my project. It's the introduction piece, just to let people know, you know, you think you know me, but, you know, surprise, I got a little something extra there, you know. So that's where it came from.
Easy to get along with, but hard to know, I suppose. Still waters run deep, but streams flow from rivers birthed by seas conceived in an ocean wave overflows so deep it's understated. Judged exterior by my quantity, so my quality is underrated.
It's a good thing.
I'm an enigma, that thin line between love and hate. Either you get me or you just ain't. I speak in concrete, but my life be abstract. Sometimes theoretical, but at times contradictory to who you thought I was. It's not intentional, I'm just neo-dimensional. Torn between holy and whorish tendencies, my mantises can sear the mentals of the most contently moral mortal. Decadent till the sutras regarded as missionary. Love's free enough to cry out, oh my God. And to make it one, then stand unashamed in praise and cry out to my God. My worship intently pure to earth shakes, heaven moves, hell cringes and creation bows. I rock the mark of the redeemed, living that fine balance between human and his. I'm not perfect, but I am his perfection.
I'll be there.
Surprise, a little something special extra. But you can get to know me if I let that. Different, another way you'll never see. You know the only way to be me. Surprise, a little something special extra. But you can get to know me if I let that. Different, another way you'll never see.
My very existence question is answered fail for the why is she. My presence not an occurrence but a situation. Declared lyrically out saying, cause when you insane, skirts and shirts serve shots of time release, spans of time release life as you hug yourself and stare your dreams away in a whitewashed world. Some say I be deep, but mostly I be geek. Would rather read than speak, so I marry them. Can't reduce my poetry to simplistic prose, using six words and four lines, five profane with the and in between. Your cognizance of my simulations of humanity's verisimilitudes is paramount, so I script hard, not lazy with my rhyme. I study craft to be good at my crime. Lift and flow irrelevant to teach you what you think you know. Just helps you remember if you nod while you grow.
Surprise, a little something special extra. But you can get to know me if I let you out. Just run away, you've never seen.
You know the only way to be seen.
Surprise, a little something special extra. But you can get to know me if I let you out. Different, another way you've never seen.
Gospel, jazz, simmered, and neo-soul sauce with an order of true hip-hop on the side and a tall drink of old school. Raised in the days of all-day plays of That's My Jam on the phonograph with a penny on the arm and nights of dedications of Quiet Storms. The authentic synthetic sounds leave me in unrest, so I remain true to the real. Singers who sing, not manufactured with a computer screen. Earth, wind, feel, be my fire. A love of your own, my creed. All hail to the queen of soul, giving him something he can feel. And MJ, the way you make me feel. I refuse to call evil good and good evil. Singing and art is art. I rest easy in today's silence and yesterday's noise, cause I be reflection of the way life used to be. My enigmaism say I can do that and not care how you feel about that. Not trying to be different, I just am.
Trying to be different. I just am.
Yo, yo, this is poet, author, Mark Lacey. That's M-A-R-C-L-A-C-Y. And you are listening to ATAZP recorded live right here in the ATL. Don't forget to check me out at www.marklacey.com. That's www.marclacy.com. Read about the critically acclaimed The Looking Heart, Poetic Expressions from Within and Reflux. And don't forget to keep it locked at ATAZP recorded live.
This is ATAZP, TAZ with Neil Soldier. Oh man, Enigma. I'm loving that too. That, hey, that thing was boss too. I might as well just put all four joints on the CD and rock them when I go in the car. I gotta have them. And, hey, believe me, they get replayed. I gotta have them.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was joining too. I love that song.
Thank you.
Now the music. Do you do any of the music? Do you help in any way other than to say this is what I want? But I mean, do you actually play something, put something down, program something?
No, I do not.
I
can
to.
Pick things out by ear, but. You know, I'm really old school when it comes down to that task. I like the collaboration between composer and singer. I really do. You know, I'm not, people have talked to me for the longest. You need to get a studio, and that way you can do your own beats. And, you know, I'm like, no, you know, I like having a second pair of ears.
Right, right.
To be
but
able
I would
to
think,
do what I want to
I would
do.
Think, I would think as funky as the beats that you are on, you probably could make some more funkiness by yourself. I'm just greedy, that's all. I mean, I'm just
well,
saying.
Well, you know,
real.
I mean, I have.
I'm thinking that you could, and I'd be like, oh, I love that. I love that. I love that beat right there. No, I don't even want to hear it like that. So that's why I'm saying, as funky
yeah.
as the music that you're listening to now, and that I'm listening to now,
right.
I could see you making it even more funky for your own self. I'm just saying. You know
what? I have ideas, and I may get an idea about something, and I'll even call one of my friends and go, hey, I got an idea for this beat, and I'll, like, hum it to them and let them have at it, because for me to sit down and do it, that's the only part of the process I'm really not fascinated in. I love watching the structure of it being put together. One of the producers I worked with at one time, his name is 314, and we would sit, I could tell him the idea I had about something, and I would sit there and watch him go through all of these different programs and pull up this sound and that sound and then play it and, you know, structure. I'm like, man, that's like, and I'm a cook, you know, I love to cook as part of my therapy for my mental
yeah,
stability.
Me too.
And, yeah, you know, and see, the thing I love about cooking is the science of it. You know, how if
yeah.
you put this much, it makes it rich. Or if you put this much, it makes it salty. You know, if you put that much, it makes it black. You know, I like the whole structure of it. So,
and if you don't put the exact amount, your cake won't rise. I know that.
Exactly.
I know that.
You, yes, you end up with chocolate cookies. If you were trying to make
right.
a cake, you got big chocolate cookies.
For real.
So I like having, you know, I like the whole live musician experience. I like the composition. I like coming to the table with an idea and then watching that idea take life through everybody else, them getting infected with whatever I just spoke and letting it, you know, so we're now all impregnated with it together. We all birthed this baby together. That's part of the reason
right.
I kind of shied away from it. I like that experience.
Now, I'm going to tell you, from what I've heard so far, I don't consider this spoken word. I consider this right up on the jams that I need to be playing on the top 10, for real. I mean, R&B, I mean, Neo Soul, like your name, Neo Soldier. I mean, I'm feeling it like that. So, I mean, there are, like my friend Mark Lacey, he does a little R&B now. And he sings a little bit.
Okay.
The guy that did the commercial break for me just now.
Yes.
He does his own thing, too. So, but what I'm saying is, yours, I feel like, shoot, these are songs that I'd be ripping, like, you know, number 5 on your top 10 R&B. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
That's why I'm feeling like. And I'm sure a lot of other people feel the same way. Don't some people say, now, that's just not really strictly spoken word. There's a little R&B involved, too. Do anybody ever tell you that?
Yes.
I'm getting ready to say, because I would say the same thing, because I'm like, this sound like R&B, neo, so I'm just, you know, I'm feeling it like that.
Right.
Mixed with a little spoken word in.
It does. It does. I mean, that's what I loved about our team, you know, because I am a hardcore R&B and jazz baby. And the cruise director, which is what I call him, the engineer, Ace Boogie, he is hardcore hip-hop and neo-soul. And then Ike Gordy was hardcore gospel and jazz, coming into jazz. And then the man that mastered it, he used to be an engineer for Death Row Records. So he's coming straight up out of that sound, you know.
Right, right.
And because of that fusion, You know, I mean, I love what I bring to the table. I love my art. I really do. I'm thankful that I have something to say and people want to sit still for a couple of minutes and listen to it. But I also love the production those guys did. Like, I could strip my vocals and just listen to it. You know what I'm saying? Because the beats are so freaking funky.
Are you
kidding me? This is crazy. So yeah, it's got a little bit of all of that in it. It's got a little bit of jazz, a little bit hip hop, a little bit R&B. Jazz we tried to cover. Yeah, you know. I wanted to show, like I said, the enigma. You know, I wanted to show the many sides of me. People either knew me when I first released that project, they either knew me as a poet or a worship leader. They didn't know anything else.
So when they heard it, they were tripping then, really hard, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like super hard. Like, well, go on, Shaka. You know, I know they were tripping.
Oh yeah, I got some pretty shocked faces. You know, people like, I didn't know you sang. You know, and
yeah.
I'm looking at them like, okay, poetry is my second hat. You know, I've been singing.
Right.
Matter of fact, the first professional thing I did was a voiceover. I was like 15, you know, back when there was only AM radio, telling my age. And that was always, that's always been my first love. Poetry, I came into, it was a God-appointed thing. I believe we collide with different things in our destiny that God already ordained. And poetry, I've only been doing poetry now for maybe 15 years, and it started out as a joke. I did it simply as a joke. I was trying to give one of my friends a laugh at their birthday party, and I wrote it like beatnik style. I even had the guy there with the guitar and the goatee and the hat. We passed out lighters, you know, and I knew the cadence of it because I had seen it in a couple of movies, but that was it.
Right.
And then I went and I performed it at this music seminar. A lady named Abby Mason. She's like one of the Michael Jacksons of contemporary gospel music. And I got a chance to perform a piece at her conference. And she came over to me and she put her hands on my shoulders. She's like, I got your name. It's Neo Soulja. And I walked away like, okay. You know, not really thinking about it. I'm like, all right. Okay, cool. Well, the next day, her and these people in this seminar, like this is not the average seminar. You know, real quick, this seminar was like the second largest music seminar for gospel music in the country. People came, and they weren't just gospel artists. They were Christians, but came to bring real-life music. So we had Tony Award-winning writers, Stellar Dove, Grammy. They've written for shows like Brent, Broadway, you know, all of this stuff. And these people start giving me these books I need to buy and pouring into me and everything. And I rode home from Atlanta to Cleveland. You know, that's a 12-hour drive. I think I drove half of it in silence. Like, what just happened?
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And so when I came to Cleveland, I started doing open mic there, but I still wasn't really singing. So by the time this project came out and when they heard Enigma and everybody kept asking me, we're like, well, who sang with you? Those are Tight Armies. Who did that? I'm like, that was me. You know.
Yeah. I know they were tripping. Blank faces.
Yeah. You know, and I like that. I mean, I like the surprises. You know, I like that they didn't know that I was able to do that. I like that, you know, I have one straight ahead jazz piece on there called Like I Do, and I like the fact that they didn't know the many sides of me. It wasn't a bravado thing. It was just that I love being in the creative space with people, and you pull out one of those crayons they don't have. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
they got the 24 boxes. It's like, okay, you got gray, but look, I got silver. Ooh, you want to share my silver?
Yeah.
Okay, you got, see, I have magenta, but I don't have the brick red. Can I use your brick red? So that's how it is for me. Yeah.
The song Sister Girl, explain that before I play it.
Now, Sister Girl, I actually wrote about somebody else. I have a very dear friend, And I'll leave her nameless because she is extremely high profile, like Beyonce status. And
right.
But I've known her when we were just two chicks hanging out in her house, you know, in Atlanta. And she was a victim of domestic violence. I didn't know. All the years I had known her, I never knew. They hid it well because I was around them all the time. And mm-hmm. she finally told me after she broke away from him, she was just about to break away from him, and it was at a really low point in her life. She had contemplated suicide and everything, so it was troublesome to me. And I'm an advocate for being against domestic violence, not just towards women, but to men too. But this one to me wasn't just a message to her; it was a message to every woman. You know, that you deserve more. Don't take the, you know, like if there's a line in there where I'm talking about her garment being the black and blue of his loving her. That's not love. Love is not bruising. Love is not slapping, hitting, punching. Love is not degrading in tone or texture or vocabulary. So that piece was just something to trigger, you know, any woman listening that's in an abusive relationship. Got to get up and walk away.
This is Neo Soldier, Sister Girl.
So while you're living a lie, Sister Girl, don't believe all that you've heard. This ain't the way your life should be, and that ain't all your worth. You're selling your body and soul for attention.
Broken into permanent sad smile. Sister, you ain't been happy in a long while. step out your jester's court to your queen of rain and wait for the man that's gonna let you breathe again.
Gotta get up and walk away. So come on, sister girl, tell me what you're gonna do. Gotta move on to spend the day. Stop dying for him now. Yeah. And stop abusing you.
All the fighting and the beating getting on.
Gotta go find somebody new.
For you have been told.
Get it together. Get it together. You put your time to shine.
I want to thank you, Neil Soldier, for coming in, making this real funky, because I like that song too. I loved everything that I played tonight. Very bad lady indeed. Can you tell the people where they can hit you up, see you on social media, buy your music?
I sure can, and thank you for having me. On Facebook, I'm Neo Soldier. That's N-E-O space S-O-U-L-J-A-H. If you want to get my music, it is out on every media outlet. You can get it on Amazon. I think the only place it's not right now is CD Baby because I need to send some more over there. But you can purchase it digitally at Bandcamp. That's neosoldier.bandcamp.com. If you see me out somewhere, I've usually got one in my hand. If you need to contact me by email, it's Neo the Artist, N-E-O-T-H-E-A-R-T-I-S-T, @gmail.com. I give out my phone number, but I had it on my first album, Taz, and what had happened was...
Yeah, everybody
this
called.
Man, this man called me, like, in the middle of the night.
What?
Seriously. Yeah, seriously. He called me in the middle of the night to tell me how much he loved the project. He said, you just so soulful, you know, and you all smooth, you know. That's how he talked. Stalker,
no, don't give out your phone number. Never do that. But again, again, I love the music.
Thank you.
I'm glad that I had an hour because normally I talk to artists for a half hour, then I put another one in. But I needed more time with you, and I'm glad because next time you come through, it'll be another hour again. Probably another person actually talking to you along with me so they can feel the same
anytime
thing I'm feeling. And make sure you let me know when the new project is out.
I will. Matter of fact, I'll send you some first drafts, promise.
Yeah, I appreciate it because, like I said, I'm loving it. I'm loving all of it. And thank you again for coming in. This is Neo Soldier. I'm ATAZP, another TAZ production. We're out. Take care, dear.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, you too. See y'all.